What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token coming at you to say thank you for clicking the link today. Thanks for checking out the podcast today, spending time with us, your boys here at the Well-Spoken Token podcast. Today on the show, we've got Miss Black and Culture. We'll be linking all of her socials in the description. So if you want to check her out prior to, like, you hear this intro and you're just like, I got to know who this lady is right now, you could click those links and go see exactly who she is. And I'll tell you, she's a fantastic person, very knowledgeable, one of the most calming, soothing individuals to just sit and talk to. So I really enjoyed myself, and I hope you guys do too. If you guys find yourself craving some more Well-Spoken Token awesomeness, you can check us out on YouTube at the Well-Spoken Token. You can just look us up there, or if you want to see some more serious topics, catch some video essays, or get a little knowledge, sit down with your boy, you can check us out on Token Well-Spoken, also on YouTube. We've got Instagram, we've got Twitter, we've got Facebook. It's all listed under the Well-Spoken Token, Well-Spoken Token Official, or Token Well-Spoken. So you've got us all over the place. Hope you enjoy the episode. It's your boy. I love you guys. Thank you again. What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token, and I'm happy to be here with you guys today. On the show, we've got a guest. We've got the beautiful, the wonderful Ty Black and Cultured on the show. She's a dope multi-hyphenate photographer, videographer, podcaster, and just an all-around nerd and an otaku expert. Her socials and links are going to be in the description, so you can check her out at any time. Miss Black and Cultured, how are you feeling today?
Transparently, I've been feeling like crap the last couple of days because, ooh, you know, not COVID, thank goodness, not COVID, but just, those one-off colds. But today I'm feeling pretty good. I got my tea plus a little extra in my cup. I'm in my fuzzy jacket. You know, I got my little heater at my feet. I am feeling pretty toasty.
Okay. For those of you watching, you see how she's looking. You see the beautiful butterflies. You said you're feeling toasty. I'm in my hoodie. Thank you, Tokyo Dreamers. Shout out to y'all. Y'all make beautiful merch, all that good stuff. But, it's comfy season. Are you in the midst of all this crazy winter storm weather, like right now?
No, I am in middle of the Florida. So definitely, it's like, what is it? It's like maybe 75, 80 outside. Oh. It's hot enough to where I was like, ooh, I need to turn my AC back on.
Okay. That's terrible that you were feeling so bad when the weather is like so decent. That's what's bad about that. I'm feeling fantastic, but I'm in Texas and it is chilly. It's a little bit chilly. Like, we are looking at like sleet and snow in my area. I mean, who knows if we're gonna actually get it, because, you know,
gross.
Texas weather,
zero out of ten.
Texas
no,
weather,
absolutely
tripping,
not
tripping. So yeah, no, I'm bundled up. I gotta stay warm, heat on like a mofo. I've got a little something in my cup, but you know, you guys know me, I just like to drink. It's just how I do things. But today, Ms. Black and Cultured, I wanted to have you on today because I was looking for somebody who was going to be able to have a conversation with me about young adult fiction. It's a staple of my life. It's something that's molded me. Like, when I hear voices in my head, that sounds bad, I'm not schizophrenic, but like, outside of my ancestors speaking to me and stuff like that, I'd be hearing the author's voices, the character's voices. It's a very important part of my life. And I wanted to talk to somebody who's obviously done episodes, talked about the multiple reading things. So I'm like, yo, this is definitely the person to come to.
Not just a manga comic book expert, but I do read actual books with limited images.
I heard that. But hey, look, I was actually going to talk to you about that as well. Like, so, like, obviously I'm an avid manga reader now, but I hardly ever pick up like a hardcover, like cover to cover, just words books. I have not read an actual book in probably 6-7 months. It's been It's been pretty bad. I've just been kind of like in a distance. I read all the manga, catch up every week, but I just can't find myself like sitting down. When's the last time you read a book, like a whole cover to cover book?
A lot of my Strangely enough, a lot of my reading, since I would say probably around that 20 mark, I moved from hard books to online reading. So the last time I read a full book, I think I read, I'm trying to figure out what book was it. I have a pretty long reading list, and most of it's comics. So I'm trying to think of the last actual book. I can't think of it. I know it was like a German translated book because I like foreign books.
Okay.
So it was pretty decent. It was a zombie book. I just can't tell you what the title is. I'll have to look it up. But other than that, I read a lot of fan fiction. I'm an avid fan fiction reader. Okay. So I guess maybe that counts as books. If it's not, I don't care. I'm counting it as a book. So fight me.
Hey.
But I love fan fiction. And aside from me rereading the same three books over and over again, that's typically where that's the last thing I read in the last 2 months.
Okay. But it's significantly earlier than I have. But I like that you kind of mentioned that you're reading fan fiction and stuff, because like I was going to pose the question, because I read tons of manga, right? I read articles, things like that online via my phone. Like, do you think that maybe the draw away from like hardcover books and like straight to like, do you read mostly on your phone or are you reading on your computer? Like, what do you read on?
Me personally, well, I have like two separate like worlds. So like manga and comics, I have to have physical copies. Okay. I'm a pretty serious manga and comic book collector. If you've ever happened to stumble across my TikTok, I think I have a TikTok where I show my entire shelf. Ooh. So I love collecting manga and comic books, but books I don't mind reading online. I just think that it's for me. Books typically don't last as long on my shelf, and when I did my first big move into my first apartment, a lot of my older books that I've had for years were just falling apart. So I was just like, if I can find it online, I'm gonna find it online. I just feel like I'm not really an elitist when it comes down to books. I feel like if you're someone who reads them online and that's better for you, then you should collect it that way. But if you're like a fanatic where you have to keep the physical copies, I totally get it. And you should do it that way too.
Okay. I feel that completely. I actually went through a very similar experience moving. Like I had a great ton of books. Like I'd been gifts over the years, things that I'd picked up. You know, I had my own little bookshelf. And then in the move, I got a storage building. And then that storage building, you know, how it goes. You know, you don't always pay the bills. Yeah. You're all on time. So stuff gets taken. They auction it off and somebody's like reading your copy of Othello. Like, who knows who that is? Like, mm-hmm. Othello being one of my favorite plays. But so I lost a lot of my books probably when I was like 22, 23, and so it was just a situation of dang, like all the things that I had amassed and I don't really have them anymore. And so having my phone or having my computer or laptop ready or around, I was like, oh well, I can just read like all this manga. And I ended up pouring all this time into books with pictures and stuff that I kind of like dove off the deep end with the actual like reading.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I know this is about YA, but I think one of the main reason that people have diverted into pictures, I feel like there's a lot of stigma around people reading. Like, my personal opinion, I think that, like, when we were younger, at least like the millennial, maybe early Gen Z era, like there was a lot of pressure on you to read and be literate and like make it. If you're on a sixth grade level, you should be reading like at an eighth grade level. And if you're at an eighth grade level, you should be reading at a 12th grade level. And I was definitely that kid. Yeah. I absolutely read books way above my level because I love to read. But there's like a lot of stigma there. Like, what if you're dyslexic, or what if you just have overall a comprehension issue and like you can't really, the words are too small or whatever the case is. Manga and comics provide a wonderful alternative. You can still get all of the amazing stories, but now you get they're pictures
illustrated
now.
And that's and there's remember, and there's also a weird stigma about illustrations in books, like graphic novels, things like graphic novels, comic books, manga, like or manhwa, like all of these things can be looked down upon because they have pictures. But the thing is that there's not any less consumption of words. There's not any less consumption of information or knowledge. It's literally just like, hey, this is also animated. I was going to say that stigma situation like applies on so many levels with kids. Like, you Were you a GT kid, like gifted and talented? Did you get placed in like all you're so special and smart classes?
Yeah, I was special and smart in everything but math.
Okay.
So
yeah, same here. Right, I was a gifted and talented kid. So like we can share that experience. You notice how like they segregated us? Like they stuck us in this, like all of you guys are in one class. We were pretty much I don't know if you moved around a lot, but like my experience was I lived in a small town for most of my schooling. So I was with these same gifted and talented kids all the way through lives. Like I met other kids that were just as smart as me, but because they didn't like end up in this bracket, like they didn't get that same thing. Do you think maybe because, you know, we got praised and like validated for like reading, there was always prizes, like you can go on field trips and different things like that. Like, do you think all that praise drove us to read more during that time?
I would say I did definitely have a different growing up. I did move around quite a bit when I was a kid. However, because I was always labeled as like gifted and hyper talented, every time I went into a classroom, I was always the smartest person or one of the smartest people in that classroom. Like people would ask me for my test scores. People try to cheat off my tests, all that good stuff. And for me, reading was more of an escapism thing. The person, like, I definitely think that when you put in the system where you have to be the best or you're always gifted, there is this enhanced pressure that you have to perform a certain way. And in books and in particularly fantasy, I was not asked. I got rewarded for it. But it was just, I get to a moment to escape into this fictional world where, you know, there are dragons or there are large spiders and there are princesses. And it was just really fascinating. And my mom confiscated books for me all the time because I would read books instead of doing like work or instead of doing schoolwork. I was a huge book nerd. So for me, it was definitely escapism.
Okay. I can certainly see that. I spend a lot of time, sorry, my cats are going crazy. They're like, oh my God, please pay attention to me. And I'm like, oh no, I have to record. I did get a bit of validation, right, of being young, black, and gifted and talented, right? Like, every time I was caught with a book in my hands, like, there was just like, oh my God, he's just so well-read. Right. And I mean, like, the name of the
look
show
is... Look at this little Negro go. Look at this nigga, smart as fuck.
Like, he can go... Like, hey, we drop M-bombs
on him. He's so articulate. Oh my God. I just love the way you talk. You really... sense the hood in your voice at all.
Not
so at crazy. All.
You're just not like the others. Like, you're one of the good ones. And so I preyed upon that. Like, I dove into a lot of reading and things. Like, even my cousins would be like, yo, I always remember my cousin. He always had a real thick book on his hand and a couple of white girls. And I'd be like, I don't know if that's how I wanted you guys to look at me crazy like that. Like, by the way, I love you. Show, we all know I love black women. That's not even in the play. Like, I always have to just make these jokes and stuff like that because, like, yes, my current love of my life, I love her to death. She's Caucasian, so it's just like, all right, cool. Like, I get a lot of stares. So it's like, dang, yo, you really
not
did
you
it.
Advocating
huh?
for the black community with a non-black partner.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Look at you, well-spoken token. You really did warm up to the whitey, didn't you? So yeah, no, like I love it though. It's kind of fun. It gives me ammunition for all sorts of stuff. But it was like, was it ever like a cultural thing for you when it came to the reading situation? I mean, I understand escapism, absolutely. But like, did that ever come into play?
Oh yeah, definitely predominantly white institutions for, it wasn't until I want to say maybe fifth, sixth grade when I finally went to my first like, there is more than white people, because for majority of my schooling, if I was a black kid, I was one of like one
three
or two
four.
Or three or four. And they were all sporadically spread throughout the grade. But my first time interacting with actual like black kids who are part of the culture, it was total culture shock. And like, it was for me, it's that moment when you're looking at everybody like, what? You don't like to read? You don't just casually pick up books to read? What is wrong with all of you guys? Like, nah, we're all doing just... the Soulja Boy.
Exactly. Hey, look, I'm cranking that. What are you talking about, bro? Like, and that's like, hey, look, because like the culture was, what was so wild is the culture was, I say different because they were separating us. Like they literally like they only put like two or three of us in there. Like, and so you got to wonder, it's like, dang, I know I was actually smart, but like, is it affirmative action? Did I just roll the dice right? Like, did I talk to the right person? But
oh yeah.
And like some of the kids didn't luck out like that. So their culture is different. It's not worse. And like going back, like growing up, I guess the only black friends that I had were my cousins, like, right? Like I had like family and stuff like that. I would always see them and stuff like that. So I was able to participate there. But at school, it was a whole different thing. It was like, yo, you're white. And so.
Yeah. In my household, I was the oldest of all of my cousins. I was the oldest daughter. So I was the oldest. So basically, all my baby cousins and my little brother, I had them all around me. And it was so funny, like looking back on memories of me growing up, like my uncles were, they were real hood. I'm not even trying to mince words. Like,
I understand.
Them was some good boys. And my uncle used to try to teach me how to roast.
Oh, they were like, can you roast now?
All
right, hold on. I got you. I'm going to give you an easy target. And I'm gonna see what you got.
No,
all right, here's the hairline. Here's the hairline internet. We're going to make Black and Culture roast my hairline right now. Okay, all right. If you're uncomfortable, that's no problem. I'm gonna put the cap back on, guys. I might even edit that out. Like, I might save my hairline for a different reveal.
I can roast. If you talk to my friends, like, I hate to plug myself, but if you listen to the Good Culture podcast,
big plugs.
If you listen to them, I mean, the last episode, they absolutely roasted me to bits. But in private, you know, if you ask Space Lloyd, a amazing streamer, great friend, he will say I roast him all the time. But I have a rule about roasting. And my rule is I always keep it surface level. So if we have to have like agreed upon rules. So like, you know, your hairline a little crazy, you know, that's
That's insecurity. It's true. Listen, it's out there.
You know, you and God got to talk about that. That's okay. You know, they make keeps. It's supposed to be, you know, help. Maybe you need resources.
I can't get the sponsorship. Like, I'm trying. But, you know.
Maybe you need resources, and that's okay.
You're
but
going
that's something
at me.
You agreed
said you
upon.
Weren't going to roast me, and then you shade roasted me. You're killing me here. Black and Culture came on the show. Guys, she came on the show. She said she came friendly, and she brought a gun. She brought a gun to the deal, guys.
It's a very small gun. It's a water gun. Barely hurting.
But it's spritzing me, all right? And it's spritzing my soul. It hurts. It hurts my insecurities. Fine. Everybody knows I rock this hairline. If it wasn't for my brother, he would be like, my brother always is like, yo, put the hat on. I don't know what you're thinking going on there. Put the hat on, bro. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, so, all right, sorry. We went on a diatribe there, but... So your uncles always tried to teach you how to roast,
yes,
right?
They always tried to teach me how to roast.
Yeah.
It was terrible because then they just sat there roasting me for 10 minutes. But
I love when old niggas try to teach you stuff. They're like, come here. Listen. So were they avid smokers, like cigarettes and stuff? Or like,
nah, they were just, you know, at the time, I'm thinking relatively, maybe they were in like their mid-20s. Like, because most of my family's fairly young. So like they were maybe in their mid-20s. But whew, they used to rag about me, talk about the little snot bubbles in my nose. How, girl, you don't brush your teeth. Because of course, kids don't know how to brush their teeth for whatever reason. I don't know why as a child I thought that was okay.
It's a chore, it's a chore.
You know, they just like to roast you and then you just take it. But I didn't really learn how to roast until I want to say probably like my junior year in high school. And the only reason why I had to get good at roasting was because I got really, really embarrassed at a small little gathering of friends. And this one guy, tall dude, really skinny and scrawny. I don't know what your name is, sir, but if you're out there listening, I'm on your ass.
She's on your ass, boy.
But he roasted me so bad from top to bottom, but my pride wouldn't let me cry. Okay. So I just opened up and I opened the clip, I popped it in, and I sprayed him down. And it was the first time that anybody had heard me say something so vile and so rude. They're just like, wow, And then from there, like, basically, I went on my villain arc, and I was absolutely the worst person.
She turned Shigaraki on a Himiko Toga in the building, like.
I was absolutely the worst person for up until I had second year of college.
No, I completely. So. Oh wow! Like, okay, no, I had my worst person phase way earlier than that. I was like 16. I was like, oh, I'm a terrible individual. But no, that's awesome. That's fantastic. So. Let me ask you something. Were there any characters, right, in novels that you read, right, that would have influenced this villain phase?
You know what? I'm trying to think of someone who, like, really would influence me from novels.
Okay.
You know who I really identify with? And this is absolutely terrible. All like, right. He's a terrible character overall. Like,
let's go. Let's go. Toxic Queen.
I have the books right here, so I don't forget. But it's one of my favorite series. It's by Sherilyn Kenyon, and it's called The Chronicles of Nick. And essentially, Ooh. In this series of books, it talks about this boy who always got beat up on, always got bullied. But he has, like, basically this ancestry and this power of basically, I guess he's like the son of a Satan conduit, and you kind of watch him, like, become more evil and become more twisted. And basically, also, there's a plot line, like, where his future self is talking to his past self, saying, hey, if you choose the wrong path, you're going to end up just like me. So it was interesting, like, watching him make strategic moments in his mind where, like, nah, today I'm gonna be nice, I'm not gonna be like the future me. And then there are other days he's just on demon time, and it's just like, you know what, today's the day, boy.
I'm on your ass.
And, like, maybe it was the bullying aspect, because, you know, like, most black kids who went to PWIs and then had to go to a black school, of course I got bullied. Who didn't get bullied?
it's a part of the culture. Blur culture is just out here, like, we get bullied, right. Yo.
We get bullied. It's a part of your character arc. So, of course, I got severely bullied. And reading the books as I got older, I think this was the first book I ever purchased, too.
Okay.
With my own little monies. So,
little jobby job, or it was an allowance?
Nah, it was more like, you know, everybody got that uncle that just kind of slides you money in your hand off to the side. Like, tell your mama.
Come here, look. I gave you $5. Here you go. Put it away. Put
that in your pocket. So it's just a whole bunch of slide money that people had given me that I finally collected. And the shoe book was like $14. Up. Oh, yeah.
Right
absolutely.
Next to the bricks.
It was so nice. And that character definitely influenced a lot for me. A lot of the other characters in books I'd never really associated with.
Okay.
Just because, like, I definitely loved, like, of course, YA novels. They always have, like, that strong female protagonist. So, like, Divergent and Hunger Games. Like, those characters, I know they're supposed to, like, identify with me. And I guess in some sense of, like, being a strong young woman who kind of had to take care of other people, mm-hmm. I definitely understood that, because being the oldest, I definitely had a lot of younger baby sisters and baby cousins that I was very protective over.
Okay.
But those just didn't hit for me. Like, I remember reading Hunger Games. I'm like, girl, what is you doing? Baby, what is you doing? You tied you as tribute? I don't know. I'm going to be real with you.
I don't know if I'm a volunteer. How many siblings do you have?
I am one of four.
Okay.
I have an older brother who we don't really talk as much, but he's cool people, so I think he's all right.
Bet.
I have my baby sister. We're closest in age. We're exactly 1 year apart. She is literally, I cannot talk the most about her. I know she's probably doesn't want me.
Gushing.
Oh, yes. I love my baby
talk
sister.
Talk about her. Hey, baby sis, watch the show.
She's an amazing artist. She's a colorist for a project that I've got coming up. She's absolutely adorable.
Do we need to plug her socials? What's happening?
And then my baby brother, who is also the light of my life, he's like 14, so he's like the one I have the most age gap with. Super, super bright kid. Just absolutely, I dote over my baby siblings, so I love them wholly. So just, even still though, I'm gonna let you know, post-apocalyptic dystopian, whatever the case is, I am not being tribute for nobody. If they called your name, that was for you. God had a plan for you. It was in your plan, and that's you, bro. They ain't got none to me, baby. Ah, dang, mom, sorry. Looks like you gotta reproduce again. Man, hope you didn't tie your tubes. Gosh darn it
is nasty for tying tubes. That's what's up, though. Yo, you know, you got to make more, like, get on your, Medea, the woman that ate her children, like, well, killed her kids. She's like, I can make more. Like, that was some gangster stuff back in literature back in the day.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, I think that overall, there was one other story. I just can't think of the name. Okay. I couldn't even, but the basic description is because, of course, I think everybody can see I'm a little chunky. And there was this story about this fat girl who in the story, like everybody in her family hated her, which if you're a fat person, you definitely go through a lot of like body dysmorphia and you feel like shit because people don't know how to treat fat people.
It's true.
Of course.
It's like, oh my God.
So. It's right. Oh my gosh, you got more love handles than the average person. Gosh darn it.
Got more rolls than a bakery. Like I got love handles. I'm part of big, like, it's big nigga season. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's cold. People love big dudes in the cold, but in the summer.
I love chunky people. I love chunky. Hey, Fenty came out with them draws,
my grandmama. My great grandma, everybody in here got raw. Everybody big. We just all big. It's just gonna be like that.
Squishy people supremacy. But the story follows her and like how her dad hates her. Well, her dad's okay to her, but her mom hates her, brother hates her, and basically just watching her grow her confidence, like taking the steps to like change her hair color, paint her nails, buy clothes that she felt pretty in. And right. I think other than Nick and his demon time story, that story in particular, which is I really can't think of it. I want to say it's called Bubblegum. I read it in like intensive reading class, but oh my gosh, that book right there. It was just like, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All this. I feel this. This right here.
Yeah. 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 All this. I mean, it wasn't until another like college where I still actually, you know, and even still some days you look at yourself like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it. And other days you're like, yeah, you're a bad bitch. But that story I definitely hold close to my heart. It's one of those that I kind of think on like, yeah, she can dye her hair purple.
Absolutely.
I probably won't dye my hair purple, but you know what? Sentiment is shared.
Something close. Like, I'll wear something that's off-colored. Like, I'll do me, but I'll do that. Like, I completely understand. Like, that's fantastic. Like, I love that about reading, right? Is that, like, not every time, like, the big epics or the huge series that people love, they don't always have a character that you immediately identify with, right? Mm. But there are some where you can, like, pick out an individual person and go, you know what? I really like the way this individual handled that. I like the way that they came at it. And you know what? I'm going to attack it with that same energy. Like, for me... Yeah. When it came to YA and just young fiction and stuff, probably like college age, I found a book in like a random store with an ex, and it was a book called Peter Pan Syndrome. And I was like, damn, I'm about 20, 22 at the time. I'm reading this book and it's like, oh, wow, this might be me. And it's just all about like adults, like adult males, like make it to their like mid 20s, like early 30s. And you find out that they're like basically 12-year-old boys in the brain. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm basically a 12-year-old boy in the mind, because I love like shonen manga, shonen anime. That's all me. And most of my favorite, most influential characters were like 12 to 14-year-old boys. And so that influenced the crud out of me. I was really into the House of the Scorpion series. Like, I read those. Oh. Like, I don't know if
that's a throwback. Just like sparked a thought in me.
Mexican clone of a drug lord out here. Like, I just put, like, if you ever run across my TikTok, plug, plug, plug. Right. I threw up a thing about, I was like trying to dog whistle people. I was like, yo, do you remember like House of the Scorpion? Like, this kid had it really rough, like organ donation, all that stuff, really dark stuff.
Oh, yeah. But also, I feel like there's a lot of like, there was like Edgelord books, and those are my least favorite. Like, I don't know if anybody remembers the book Eighth Grade Bites in that whole series about like the kid. He was a vampire, and basically, yeah.
I love this fantasy stuff. Put me on. Not turn. Excuse me. Pause. Put me on.
So I actually pulled it up because I had to pull it up. So it's For 13 years, Vlad aided his aunt and his best friend and kept the secret that he's a half vampire. But when his teacher is replaced by a sinister substitute, he learns that there is more to being a vampire and his parents' death than he could have guessed. That's the synopsis that's on Wikipedia. That's pretty close to what the book is about. But all I'm going to say is if you do take the time to read Eighth Grade Bites and all the books that come after it, it's edgelord. This boy is so gosh darn edgy. It's 2013 Tumblr edgy. He's so edgy.
Oh, and snap. Homie's just like, I'm brooding. I'm sitting there. My mom's such a bitch.
Everything is dark and bad, but
the abysmal darkness of my internal soul is a miasma of murder. Like,
absolutely. With the eye chimed in.
Haven't you people ever heard of?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This guy's total edgelord. And I couldn't stand those books when I was the age appropriate enough to read them. But I recently, within the last year, during like the, I guess it wasn't the height of the pandemic, because I just realized that 2020 is actually 2 years ago now.
Yeah, right. Well, here we are.
2022 now. But in 2020, I did a lot of book buying and I did a lot of like reading old books. It inspired me to go out and get one of like my favorite books of all time. What is it? Sunshine by Robin McKinley.
Okay.
And as I was getting the book and I quick side story about the book Sunshine. I have bought that book 5 times over the course of my life. The first time it was bought for me as a gift when I was 16 years old as a birthday gift with the Barnes & Noble gift card. I took it to IKEA and I lost it in IKEA. The second time I bought the book, I was 17 and I bought it with graduation money. I went to I went to Barnes and Noble's, grabbed the book, but then I had grad bash when I graduated, and then that book got wet on a ride because I carried it with me.
Wait. You were that girl? It was just like, yo, I just gotta have that book on me. Like, it's always on me. Got that thing on me. What you mean? That big old book. Like, what's up? Like,
right, period. I pulled it out and everyone's literally looking at me like, why do you have a book? So when we wait in line, I didn't know the lines were gonna be short. I just thought I was gonna have to wait.
Everything I've read about amusement parks says that they're gonna be long rides. It says so in books. Like, I remember
as a Florida native, I expected the lines to be X amount of time, and the lines were grad bash, the lines were nothing. Okay. I barely waited 10 minutes. So very interesting situation there. So I lost the book. A book crumbled into pieces. I was sad, heartbroken.
Tears,
so
crying.
Then I bought
the
book again for the third time. And this time I bought the book in college and I accidentally traded it. No, I didn't accidentally trade it with someone. I purposely traded with somebody, but I thought I was getting a different book in return. And the book they gave me, I absolutely hated. I tried to get the book back because I didn't like the book they traded with me. And they said, no, a deal's a deal. And I was like, all right, whatever.
They said, no Indian, I mean, excuse me, no Native American giving. Like, I don't know. Is that less bad that instead of saying Indian giver, saying Native American?
I feel like there's actual history. Someone has told me like there's actual history to why it's like that. I don't know what to say to that.
Get on there. Hard questions with Well-Spoken Token. This is fantastic. Put yourself out there. Ruin yourself. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that.
I mean,
if you say anything problematic, we'll edit it out. I swear to God.
Oh, no. You gotta cancel me early while I still only have like 600 followers.
It's true. And then you can rebuild. You can rebuild way faster.
Rebuild, right. I can rebuild a dead brand. It's whatever. Absolutely. I can always brand something else. It's like, no go problem. Become a VTuber, whatever. I mean,
you can literally respell Black and Culture and you're good.
Right. Spell it correctly this time.
Hey, got it. You had to fight harder for SEO, but you're good.
Absolutely. But I bought it one more time. The last time I finally bought this book was back in 2020, which brings me to why I went back to reading. I finally went back to Barnes & Noble's, found the book, and as the guy is like putting in, I was like, you know what? I bought this book 4 times. He was like, oh, you must really like the book. I'm like, no, just every time I've lost it. And he looked at me as he handed me the book, and he was like, this is the last one in stock. Do not lose this book. Oh, and snap. It's just the conviction that he gave me. I was like, oh, okay, I won't lose. I'll keep it. So I'll keep it safe.
Here it is, right?
And now the book is good. And mind you, I'd never finished reading this book either.
So is it still sitting there unfinished?
Oh no, I finally finished it. last year at the beginning of 2021. I finally finished it, and it is a good book. I love it. Okay. Definitely the reason why I went back to buy it again. But brings me back to all the other books I read. I read reread Eighth Grade Whites. I reread Percy Jackson and all those books.
I love Rick Riordan.
Oh, so top tier. I can't say I liked any of his other series, but I did like Percy Jackson. Okay. I feel like
that's his bread and butter. It was the thing that got him hot. Did you like the Roman spinoff, like Percy becoming the son of Neptune and like all of that?
I think I own almost all of the Percy Jackson books, but I don't know. It just got to a point and I was just like,
it's a little convoluted, and on top of that, like as you get older, it does become a bit of like a
For me, the biggest draw to me for books is I like a unique story, and I feel like you have to, also with long stories, you got to keep me interested. And that was a big thing for me. Like, I have a really short attention span as far as books go, which is why I always had different books. Okay. And I rarely ever collected in series. Percy Jackson was just one of those things. It's a collector's item. You have to catch them. And I didn't start recollecting, like, the book, The Chronicles of Nick, until, I think, 2020. 2020 is when I started rebuying books. So that's the first time I actually started going back and collecting all the books so I had them. But back in the day when I was like still a teen or late teen, like I can't read all that. I that's the main reason why I never finished Harry Potter. You know, shoot me if you like Harry Potter. I'm sorry. I don't even think I finished the first one.
We got some Potter fans on the show. So like, hey, everybody cut her some slack. It's perfectly fine. You must have watched the movies at least.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I watched every movie.
Guys, however, she's on the movie train. Like,
I will say this, and you know what, Potter fans, I love y'all, but literally catch the smoke. I don't like reading those long books. Why? But why were the books so long? And I don't know if anybody else had AR books when they were growing up. If anybody accelerated reader
big
program.
Big thing here in Texas. Yes, indeed. We read the crud out them books.
Listen. Anyway. The Harry Potter book was worth, if I'm not mistaken, 24 to 30, like,
depending
points
on
or stars.
One. Depending on which one. Because, like, right, it was like Prisoner of Azkaban, which was like the first really thicker boy that they got, and there was like 15 points. And then, like, once you got Goblet of Fire style, it was like 24, 25.
Right. So, like, these were no baby books. Like, and I was knocking out books alone just for AR. Just, you know, bop.
Real quick. Now, I'm going to let you do it because, like, you presented this and you, like, revived probably tons of my listeners' brains. They were like, holy crap, AR points, man. I remember these. Like, you want to give my audience, like, a quick rundown of what AR points were?
Yeah, so the Accelerated Reader Program, or AR, was basically a point-based system for students to read books, and based on your comprehension, you would take a test of the book to basically see how well you understood it.
Okay.
And then based on the score that you got for the comprehension of that book, you would get the points for that book. And once you got X amount of points, either your school or the state or the county would award you with different, like, things at a certain point threshold.
Yeah. You got tiers. It was like a battle pass for AR books or something like that.
Yes. And I was a superstar reader. Like, I mean, I had thousands of AR points.
She had all the free Dairy Queen. Well, I don't know if y'all got Dairy Queens. She had all the free, like, they used to give you fast food tokens.
Chuck E. Cheese tokens for no good reason. Yo. No, my mama was not taking me to Chuck E. Cheese every day.
I just had it on me, like, for the rare occasions, me, my cousins, everybody going to Chuck E. Cheese. I gotcha.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And all the certificates that would come with it. Like, but the my most daunting thing is that because I was just reading, like, small books, I was reading also, you got less points for reading books below your reading level.
Yep.
And you got more points for reading books above your reading level.
Which is where that the thing you were talking about earlier, where it was like you had this stigma of, like, if you're reading at this level, you need to be reading accelerate. That was the whole thing about AR, was accelerated reader program, so that they're like, you have to be reading way higher than your actual level, which was a lot of freaking pressure.
Oh, yeah. So, like, at a fifth grade level, I was reading at a seventh and eighth grade level.
Okay.
And technically, Harry Potter books, I think, were either seventh grade books or maybe eighth grade. I can't really remember.
They were one of those
So.
books that went on a graduating scale, because I remember that the original Sorcerer's Stone stuff was like fifth or sixth grade books, and then like as it got to Goblet of Fire and Order of the Phoenix, they became like seventh, eighth grade books because they were
Okay.
much darker.
But all I remember is I read these books. I read all of them. Read them. I don't remember anything because midway through the first book, I was like, I'm not reading this. And there was this guy in my class who ate glitter. And I was like,
Whoa,
yo.
whoa, don't just breeze past glitter, boy. Like, what do you mean
This
he
kid in my
ate
class, he
glitter?
ate glitter, and he just was like, fifth grade was a fun year for me as far as like memories go. But like, he ate glitter. He just liked glitter glue and other glitter confectionery things that were
Okay.
actually food. And I was like, yo, have you read Harry Potter, the first or second one? He's like, yeah, I've read them. And then he was just started like giving me, like telling
Oh,
me the
he hits you.
synopsis. And I was like, oh, really? Taking notes. Oh. That's quite interesting. Please do tell me more. So I just end up using him as a conduit to take all the tests. So I read through all of them
Game in
through
the
him.
system. Game in the system. I feel
I read
that.
through. I didn't have time for all that. Or my teacher used to get real mad because some of us would take the books up to the computer to like flip through to in order to take the
Super
test. And
skim.
she was like, "You can't do that. You gotta read them on your own." I was like, "All right, cool." So then I used to take notes up there and like read them like that, just like, okay, no problem."
Easy peasy.
I definitely cheated the system all fifth grade year. Also,
Okay.
fifth grade year was important because that was my first time being introduced to manga. There was a
Okay.
black kid in my class who
Whoa.
had, yeah, that's why manga introduction was strong. Now,
Yeah.
mind you, my dad had been loves Naruto, big Naruto fan.
Okay.
But this kid, he actually had like the first six volumes of like OG Naruto, and he was just like showing me, and I was just like, I don't think I've ever actually seen these books. He's like, yeah, and you got to read them the opposite way because in Japan they read everything the opposite way. And I was just like, so Japanese people just read backwards? That's so odd.
That's weird. What do you mean? They write
That's so
backwards?
crazy.
I
They
can't
write
write in
backwards?
reverse.
So weird. Like, do they speak in reverse too? Is that why no one understands them? Really
Slightly.
crazy.
You do place the pronouns after, like
Really crazy fifth grade thoughts. But yeah, definitely
pronouns.
fifth grade absolutely just accelerated reader program was awful. By the time they ended it when I was in eighth grade, I was extremely upset because I'm like, dang, I done read all these books and all I get is at that time they were just giving me funky pizza parties. And I was like, I done ate pizza. I eat pizza in the lunchroom and out the lunchroom. I'm tired of this.
I eat pizza on a reg. I'm not concerned with pizza. I can make my own pizza. Like, people slide me money. I've got so much slide money. I could buy my own pizza. I'm not concerned. Like, I'm not.
Right.
Like, when they stopped taking us to Six Flags, that's what. Well, actually, there was still an. Actually, weirdly enough, there was still incentive to, like, do AR points and stuff like that all the way up to my, like, sophomore year of, like, high school. I guess I don't know why they like held it onto it for so long, but if you hit a certain threshold of books at the time, you would go to Medieval Times. You know what Medieval Times is?
Oh wow, medieval talk. Wow, that's
Yeah,
hilarious.
exactly.
Now I
There was
never got
like
to do
12 of
none of
us.
that.
There was like 12 of us on a bus, and we were just looking at each other like, wow, we really did read our way here in high school, didn't we? Like, is
Nah,
it
I didn't get to
like
do none of
everybody,
that.
all the virgins raise your hand, and it was just like, ah.
Tired.
It
Tired. Oh, so tired.
was
No,
fun.
I got none of that. I stopped reading AR. Also, there was just no drive for me to read like that anymore. By the time I got to high school, I was so much more interested in like I did read a lot of historical fiction.
Okay.
That was around the time, at least for me, Abraham Lincoln, the Vampire Slayer had come
Yo,
out.
such a good book.
Yeah,
Did you read Pride and
such a good
Prejudice,
book.
Pride and Prejudice Zombies?
Yes, I was a huge Pride and Prejudice and Zombies person. I love that book. The movie was all right, but I mean the book was okay. The book was good.
Decent,
The book was
decent.
good.
They hyped it up in the trailer. Like Pride and Prejudice
Oh
Zombies,
yeah.
like homegirls just walk around with like knives coming up. Like, yo, no, we just do this. Like, what? I was like, what? All the men, all you bitch niggas, like, get back up. Like,
Right.
because we got this. We slay in dresses.
And then it was basically just the same book. But yeah. Now everybody who was just a jerk is now just a dead jerk. But exactly. Just awful.
Victorian awful. Fiction. It was very fun. So did you make the jump from young adult fiction to adult fiction ever? Was that ever a thing for you?
I will say I didn't start reading. I still don't read a lot of adult fiction, but what started me trying to read adult fiction, I've read a couple books since then, was when I worked my first telemarketer job.
Were you outbound or inbound?
I was inbound.
Oh, thank God.
Went from telemarketing to I was just working in a call center where I worked for a bank. And there was this woman, and she had these black author who wrote basically adult the vampire werewolf stories.
Nora Roberts, Laurel K. Hamilton. Was
it? I can't remember what her name is, but the books are yay big, and all of them have interesting stories. And then of course she also read Zane. So I got first time I ever read now I've definitely read adult erotica before.
Oh yeah,
this.
No, I'm out here see, you say the word Zane and my body gets a little hot. I get just sweating. I'm like, oh God. Cause my parents don't notice, and my stepmom don't notice, but she used to keep a copy of Zane underneath the bathroom. On the bathroom sink. I was like, what are you? And so I'd be like, oh God, the pipes are acting. I open the thing. What is this? Oh, well, a book. I like to read a book. I like to pass time in the restroom. You know, people do that. And I picked this up. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my what is God. This book?
Ma'am. It's the first time. The first time I actually read erotica was when, I almost said high school.
I saw you talking about that Netflix series. The Korean one. It is definitely High School of the Dead. Big High School of Dead vibes.
I have yet to watch it. Even if it is, I'm still going to watch it because I love zombie flicks.
Same. Why not?
Definitely going to watch that. But what was I trying to say? It was not High School of the Dead. It was not even the same story. It's 50 Shades of Grey. I'm so sorry.
This is literally my brain. That's how it goes. I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. Where was I? Blip, bling. And then it was just a completely different place. I'm like Nightcrawler without control of his powers. I just end up anywhere.
Oh, no. But it was 50 Shades of Grey. The first book came out. And it was, I remember reading 50 Shades of Grey when it was still an available draft, fanfiction.net.
Ooh, callbacks.
Ever got made into an actual book or got picked up by a publisher. I remember the first time I read it and I was like, clutch my pearls. Okay, I see. This is quite nice. This is interesting.
I see why adults read books.
Right. It's so crazy. And I mean, now I definitely understand 50 Shades of Grey is an absolutely terrible book.
Yes. Terrible book, copied story, right. Basic plagiarism.
We already know this. We know the story is garbage. However, at the time, book. I was probably 15.
15, 14. Yo, that's the perfect exploring yourself, figuring yourself out time. It's just, hey, you find something on a shelf and you start reading and the spiritual awakening happening.
Someone sent me the link and then it was my job. And on my old laptop, I still have the actual files. OG
She got
books.
The stems.
I have the files from the OG books for 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Grayer, and Freed. I have all three books on my old laptop because and it was it had a cult following at my school. And I remember our bus driver it doesn't even talk about real love. And we were just we don't care about that. We don't care about love.
Wait. That's how you know that's a real cult following, because if you're a bus driver, right? If your bus driver is having a debate with you guys at 14.
She literally heard us talking about it. Because, of course, I was the child who never sat in the back of the bus. I sat two seats behind the bus driver, and I was talking hushedly with another bus mate. But, of course, that one kid that always is a jerk is just like, oh, y'all was reading that nasty sex book, huh? And...
yes, I was. I was. Up. And you're doing that nasty sex stuff on the back of the bus. So, we didn't snitch on you. Why are you
over there? Right. Go over there. Ain't nobody talking to you.
Get up.
But after that, it definitely took me to a plunge where I was That definitely shifted me from I'm gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. After that, I really did stop reading a lot of like YA fiction, and I went straight to adult. I was pretty much exclusively reading. That's what started me reading fanfiction.net, because after why else would I continue to read with my time?
Like my hormones.
I'm here for the titties. Show me the bits. I'm not here for none of that. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And looking back on it now, because I actually got my first copy of like a three page like short erotica. Okay. That's what got me into like vampire, werewolf stuff. I mean, vampires and werewolves have always had a place in my heart since Buffy and Angel. Oh, however,
okay. Were you an underworld person? Did you get into the underworld series? And
all I'm gonna say is I'm not talking to you. Okay. I'm talking to my friends. If you hear this podcast, don't you dare make any jokes about Cerulean Blue. That's Ooh. It. I'm calling it Ooh. Out. Don't make the joke. But I love 2000s movies. That is, and the joke is that all those movies from the 2000s are color graded blue.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know if everybody that's ever watched the video from the Well-Spoken Token, you know that like I will throw the blue light up. The blue light is always there. Like it's just because my favorite movies are just this freaking cerulean.
They're all color graded blue. I don't know why.
Except for Training Day. Training Day was sepia tone. But like did you notice
Training
the shift
Day was sepia tone.
Like the shift in tones, it was like everything was cerulean blue. And then like as we got to like the late 2000s, everything mm-hmm. was like orange. Like Crash was orange. Like you remember God Almighty, Crash was such a sad movie.
I'm gonna be real with you. There's a lot of things I haven't seen because my mom would not let me watch it because it was too graphic.
Okay.
And Crash was definitely one of those. I remember trying to go back and watch Crash, but I had no energy to go watch it. I'm like, it's past its prime. I don't want to. I got the basic premise. People get off by crashing their cars. Ew, nasty.
Oh,
I think
hold on. Wait. Wait, hold on. You just revealed yourself so bad right now, okay?
Because I never watched it.
No, wait, stop. Hold on. This is hilarious. So wait, I am talking about Crash, which is an anthology movie that has
what Crash is about, because there's two crashes.
Yes, the crash that you're talking about is people that have fetishes for car crashes, and at one point in time a male makes love to a like open wound. Like that is Crash.
No, see, okay. I'm telling you, I've never seen either
that's
movie.
That crash.
But now
the other crash.
I exposed somebody else because whoever told me that's what Crash is about.
Why are you out here? Also, I exposed myself, but everybody knew I was a degenerate. That's my brand.
I never said I wasn't a degenerate. I'm an adult.
That's true. We were just talking about smut.
All I'm saying is that I genuinely anytime anyone has mentioned Crash, I thought Crash was about people getting off to crashing vehicles. And I was just like, first off, that's a lot of insurance. I don't understand why anyone would want to do that. That just seems very irresponsible and a lot of money. And two, ew, gross. Like in a car, there's not a lot of no kink shaming here. If that's
absolutely
what your thing
if your thing is voyeurism or exhibitionism or whichever
one
that
is. If that's your thing, talking to you, XO, you know, that's just what it is. But I personally find cars to be extremely claustrophobic, and I only use cars for two things: listening to music and going to get things that I need in a car. So I don't know. I didn't think Crash was worth it, but now that I know there are two crashes.
Right. There's a whole nother one. Hold on one second. I'm trying to pull it up because like I can share this whole screen. There it is. Okay, cool. Share. Can you see this?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, this is the oh my god.
Okay, so I've seen this title. Like I've seen this.
That's Michael Pena. All right. He's got a whole thing going on. Crash.
I've seen this, but I thought that this movie was the slutty car crash movie.
Yeah, no. So the slutty car crash movie was made in 96. It's this one. Like it doesn't even I can't even really show like as well as that could be, but yeah, no. That was a whole situation.
Crazy.
Yeah, nah,
that was who told me that, but you are something else.
Absolutely.
You are something else.
You watched the Human Centipede and all sorts of stuff. Also, just I always plug this movie for things. If you're in, obviously, I see that you're on the dark side here. There's a movie out here that you can Google it. My fans, you guys can Google it too. If you really want to have like a weird day, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of exposition. It's called Antichrist. It's got Willem Dafoe in it. If that means anything.
I might have seen it. I'm a huge horror fan, and I definitely am going to expose myself. I watch a very unnatural amount of bad horror things that are very low on the iceberg.
That is one of my favorite things to do. Like, I love watching just crap, like just any horror movie. I'll check it out just to give it a chance.
I've seen this. Okay, yeah, I've seen this 2009 film.
Okay, so yeah, it was a 2000s. 2000s was a great time. Like.
It is what it is. I feel like there's a sweet spot in the early 2000s. There's like Y2K or at least now what people are using Y2K. Okay. That's really like McBling. Yeah. Really Y2K, as my friend would say, is dress over jeans, mismatched tops,
high
lots of cultural appropriation, tons. Baggy pants, flannels. Jerseys for teams that no one's ever played for. Like. That's
safety pins, like rawr.
Right, rawr XD. That's late.
Even 2006, 2007.
That's late. The spot that like I really grew up in was like 2010 to 2015.
Okay,
I was mid to late 2000s. That's my era, right. And that's where like the death of Tumblr happened, the rise of Instagram,
yes,
and the death subsequent of MySpace, failure of Facebook.
Were you a MySpace original? Like, were you a MySpace kid?
Could not get a MySpace. My mom was very strict about me having MySpace. I was not actually. I did not have any social media, believe it or not, until I was 19 years old.
Okay. All right.
So I had no social media. I had an Instagram, but I rarely ever used it. Through high school, but like no MySpace. And I did make a MySpace, but my mom found out about it and was absolutely hyper pissed. And then she was just like, how could you, you know, these people out here trying to get little girls and over here trying to do stuff. And I'm like, I mean, now with hindsight, I mean, absolutely. You are right. They are trying to get little girls.
It's true.
At the time, I just wanted to see what the hype was. I just wanted the cool glitchy backgrounds with like the music on the back. I don't know. I missed that era.
That was what was hot back then. I was my hot like era was probably like 1998 to like 2007, 2009. Because like right then, 2007, 2009. That's a weird gap. 2007, 2008. Because right then I got to high school.
Okay.
Like, and so after that, I was like, oh, yeah, adult stuff. Like, I really got to start, like, keeping up with some of this stuff and making decisions that affect my life. So I changed that time frame of, like, my thought process. But that was, like, my prime reading time, too. Like, that's when I took the time out to read, like, all the Aragorn books and, like.
Oh, Aragorn. Such a good series.
Exactly.
Movies were terrible.
Christopher Pelloni, 15-year-old author. That was, like, a big thing in my brain. Like, I'll never forget the author was 15 when he wrote that book. And then as I read it again when I was, like, an adult, I was like, oh, yeah, a 15-year-old wrote this book. I can see this now. But yeah, terrible movies. I really wish that they would have left those exactly where they are. I hope that the trend of remaking movies extends to some of these like book adaptations, because there are some things that could really use like an update. Like Miss Peregrine, did you enjoy those? Like, what did you think of those?
I've read Miss Peregrine's once or twice, but I didn't really realize like what they were, like, you know, that those moments where someone's like, here, read this, and you're just like, oh, okay, read it. So I read through it in like a couple of days and I was like, oh, this is a solid read, but like never gave it a second thought. And then I saw the movies and I'm like, oh, Miss Peregrine's the weird kids that live in the house, cool. And then the movie was just like, ah, you know, but Most movies that people try to make that are come from like books and I don't know what happened in the 2000s where people were like, I'm going to remake a movie and it's going to be the best thing ever. And the movie just tanks. I will never forgive M. Night Shyamalan for what he did to Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Ooh, we don't even talk about it over here. We don't. We talk about move one rock. One rock. All that movement.
I'll never forgive it. I can't. It's just my heart.
No,
can't
I completely take the pain. Understand. But to counter that though, right? Just to put this out there, I realized as I was speaking about it, I was like, when I made the transition from YA to more adult fiction, it was probably like Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. And I started reading like Dragonlance and stuff like that because I got really into the high fantasy stuff. And that's also what led me to like love D&D and stuff, because Dragonlance and that kind of stuff is a part of that world. But did you ever, Lord of the Rings was a classic, like technically adult fiction novel that made a pretty decent movie. Were you ever into those, like Mecca, back then?
I love D&D as well. Okay. I absolutely
shout out. Okay.
Yeah, actually, my friend, who I've shouted out already, Space Lloyd 8, he streams D&D characters. He's my DM. Love D&D. Been playing for a little bit over 5 years now.
Okay.
And as far as, like, first off, I love Tolkien. I really love Tolkien. I think that what really got me into Tolkien, where there was these two white kids that sat next to me in my intensive math class, and the whole time, like, they were just quirky kids in general, like, but we all were quirky, so it's kind of whatever, but they were peculiarly quirky in their own way.
Yeah.
And they were both headed off to the military, and they were all always talking about, like, high fiction, and I was like, yeah, I totally love high fiction, but they were like, but do you really, have you ever read Lord of the Rings? I was like, I've seen all the movies, if it makes any better, I own all the movies, including the special edition. And they're like, you've got to read the books, and I fucking hated reading the books.
Oh yeah,
they,
you don't like
were
the big slogs.
Grueling.
They are long.
Oh my god.
The
gosh.
Language is flowery.
I wanted to cut off my eyes. I just I hated reading those books.
Okay.
So terrible.
Now, did they make you start on the Lord of the Rings?
I don't remember the order of the books. Yeah. It was very bad time for me to read them. I end up how I read the books was I actually read them in a book club. I went back and read them again in a book club with four other people. And basically, as I read, I got the chance to annotate the books. And what really set, like, I sat down. I was like, okay, I really like this story. Like, I still think the book is incredibly long.
Yeah.
And you cannot pay me to read Lord of the Rings again. I don't have the stamina nor the energy to read books in that manner again. But I don't even know if I have my annotated copy anymore, but sitting down and having the chance to read through the book and really appreciate what Tolkien did. And mind you, this book is from another reason why it's probably so
50s, like
40s, 50s. Yeah. Like, it's an old ass book. So of course it's going to feel like
dated,
grueling literature. Like, have you ever read, what is that book, The Wellington Heights, or
Worthington Heights?
Worthington Heights.
Yeah.
Have you ever read that book?
Yes.
That book's incredibly long. Have you ever read Frankenstein by
Marie Shelley?
By Shelley?
Yeah, like, or is it Marie Shelley? Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley?
Yeah.
That book's incredibly long.
That's
actual
really
Pride and Prejudice.
Oh my God.
Terrible.
Some
I would even say
Ernest Hemingway, like, as much love as he gets, like, honestly, sometimes it's just a long slog. I read these when I was like having to read these, and when I was like, I thought it was cool to read these because women, like, I was very of the assumption, oh, classic gentleman, read all the freaking Pride and Prejudice stuff, and then you'll have plenty to talk about. And none of the women I was talking to was feeling that at all. They were like, I don't give two craps.
Absolutely not.
Best of times, worst of times. Get out of here, nigga.
I mean, I was really into a lot of the literature I end up, like, really loving, aside from, like, YA, like, my little period between jumping from basically YA to erotica was plays. I read a lot of stage plays. So, like, a lot of Shakespeare, Romeo, Juliet,
Macbeth,
you know,
Hamlet,
Othello,
all the good stuff.
And all of those things. Yeah. I definitely read a lot of plays. And then I got into also, you know, Tyler Perry with his plays. I was like, Black people yeah. make plays. Black so, like, what other shows. Plays?
It's not
right.
just right.
Black
color
people
wire.
Make stuff. So, what other plays exist? And that's what got me into like really enjoying. Like, I read a lot of plays. So, like, I read A Raisin in the Sun. Good really play. Liked A Raisin good in the show. Sun. What's another one? There's another really
Have you ever
good.
Read, I read Sunset Limited.
I think I've read Sunset Limited. Couldn't tell you what the story is about. It's been so long. I'm trying to think of ones I really remember as far as like Black plays because I was like
Superior Donuts. These are shows that are like 2000. I say like 2011, 2012, like around that time frame.
Still pretty young for me. I realize okay. now that there's a little bit of an age gap. So,
okay, hold on. Let's give birth years. We don't have to dox each other with birthday. I'm gonna start. I'm 92. I'm 92.
Oh yeah, I'm 97. Okay. Definitely at the end of that.
Yeah.
At the end of that.
You
it's
are
cool.
the same age as you are the same age as my lady friend. You're like that's kind of wild. I'm like, well, at least same year.
It is what it is. I yeah. feel like
I don't think
a
age
lot
is
of,
like a big deal.
I feel like age is a big deal when you're younger because age definitely can shape the way that you grow up. Clearly, mm-hmm. I mean, even though we're still fairly within the same kind of like yeah. age bracket, we still had pretty wildly separate childhoods because at that time, age really does change the way that you grow up. Even like me and most of my friends, I'm really the youngest of the friend group. Everybody else okay. is either like in their late 20s, early 30s. You can tell the difference like, oh, I remember that, but like that was
the
tag by the time.
Like this was
right.
the tail end of my thing. Okay, I got
This
you.
Was just the very beginning or this was like the very end of that.
Yeah.
And I kind of just am like in this really grew up in the era when someone says like 2013 Tumblr, I lived
Man,
2013
that's where you
Tumblr.
And I was only on the fringes of that because like I was still like caught up in the Facebook situation. Like I was still like, and that's just, they would call me an elder millennial and you a millennial, like essentially, or like
I've even been
Z.
told I'm a Gen Zer. So like, I don't know. I just exist in a time before TikTok.
Yes.
And I know that is a big
You're definitely
thing.
Not a Zoomer. Like, I don't
not
think,
a,
I don't think
not
you're a
Zoomer.
Not
I still listen to Motown regularly for fun.
Listen to Etta James? Oh my God. Like, that's a,
oh yeah, absolutely. Right now, actually, I don't even think it's Motown. Who was I listening to? I've played it on repeat. Forgive me as I go scorch through my Spotify.
Fine. We give
but
hey Spotify shout out. I do use Spotify as well. Like it's
please
you're an
Spotify,
Android person.
Bless us with a sponsor, huh?
Are you an Android person?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. See, because like most people are Apple Music, but Android users know how great Spotify is. Shoot the sponsorship either way. Like she's been
yes.
fantastic this whole episode. So like obviously pick her, but you know if a brother can get the shine, please.
Nah. This is your podcast. They definitely gotta come for you.
Oh,
they gotta give you.
They got four seasons worth of stuff to go through. It's gonna be fine. Like we're gonna get there
seasons?
Eventually. Yeah. This
congratulations for consistency. Hey, listen.
If you ask my brother, who's the producer of the show, like he's the guy that is the battery in my back that like makes this stuff happen. Like sometimes, like I'm in the like we're both in the Instagram of the official. So like I'll get in there and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna reply. And then like I'll come back and he'd be like I've already replied for you but don't like I've already checked in there like I've liked all these things commented on all these things do some other work like that's the type of stuff we're on like thank goodness for him but it's been fun four seasons and we're this is the fourth technically this is gonna be the first time that this airs actually. So it's been nice. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, of course, big shout outs to you. Where are you at now currently as far as your content creation is going?
I'm letting y'all know ahead of time.
Okay.
My career is in such a flat, like I'm right on the cusp of something great because
Amen.
I've got a lot of stuff.
Amen.
Listen, I got so much stuff, like stuff I can't even really talk about yet.
Oh, secrets.
Like, yeah, but I will say this, as far as like podcasts go, I have the Good Culture Podcast, which is kind of like it's one of my longest running podcasts, but it's definitely gone through a lot of evolution. And now we finally have four people. We've got Queen Miyazaki, XL Takamura, and Space Lloyd 8, who are my amazing crew. And now that podcast is it's fucking hilarious. I think that we're hilarious
Heck
for an hour.
I did.
And then on the other side, I've got the Black Coffee Comics podcast, which is a podcast where we exclusively talk about indie comics. And that one's just between me and Space Lloyd. That one's a lot of fun. So that's like podcast wise. I'm still recording videos for my YouTube. Haven't edited it yet, but I'm recording videos for my YouTube. Instagram's kind of popping off here and there. I'm working for different companies. I work for Concrete Comics. And even though, yeah, I'm their media personnel. So like if you ever like are watching Concrete Comics and you get an email, it might be from me. Who knows? Definitely the monthly new letters are mine. I also do work for I make reviews for Indie Comics Dispatch. All right. So if you guys are interested in reviews there, and my big secret that I've been keeping, like I'm slowly gonna, I'll say this: Instagram launches Monday for my passion project with my dear old dad, for our very first comic book. I'm not gonna give any titles away, but okay, yeah.
Big reveal, big reveals. Hush,
big
hush,
reveal.
Stuff,
you
stuff.
Heard it here okay. first. So hey. There is a comic book that's dropping. I can't really say when, can't say what it's about just yet, but just know that. And even so much more other than that, like stuff I just cannot talk about.
There's so much going on. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love the energy here. Like, that's fantastic. It's a passion project with your father. You can't mm-hmm. reveal a whole lot about it.
Can't give a whole lot about it. All I can say is that. Oh yeah, it's I don't like to sing my own praises unless it's real.
That's what this is for. This is what this whole section's for.
I mean it. I'll say the story was originally his. He's been working on it for 20 years, basically my entire life. This is his baby. He loves it wholly, and I feel like that absolutely comes through in every page that he's been writing. And I'm the co-writer. I helped him go back in and clean up a lot of the story, make it more cohesive. And our artist is going crazy. Our other artist is going hard. Everybody's just flames. It's
boom, 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 boom. Oh my boom, god! Boom, boom, boom.
It's just. When we talk about like YA and like being inspired, my love for literature and my love for reading and my love for everything nerdy is really what's propelling me, I should say, to this point. And I love making content, and I love the opportunity to get to tell different stories and like put my voice out there. So I'm super excited for everything I've got going on. Like, me as a creator, who knows? Next year.
Hey, who knows? Big next bucks. Year. She could be really out here. Y'all don't know. Y'all heard it first right here. Miss Ty Black and Culture doing big things, huge stuff on the list. I'm like, yes. I'm astonished. I'm loving. I'm not lying to you when I say I love the energy there, because like keeping it all in the family has been like something that I love. Like, I work with my brother on a daily basis. I'm always trying to consult and like call back to things that I'm telling family stories on the podcast. So to hear that you're working with your dad on something that he's loved for so long, and you've taken up a passion with that as well, is like heartwarming. Like, and I think we need that around like my area, because it's a little cold.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully when it drops, you know, I might give some people the opportunity to talk about it on their podcast.
This is on wax. Like, so I'm not like, I'm
right,
not
right. You might get it, you know, you might get a little exclusive.
So we'll see. But like, absolutely. We'll see. We'd be honored to talk about it, post about it, because again, we love to see it, like having actual people who grew up in these cultures, who experienced these things and were influenced by young adult fiction and like all of these mediums and like that we love out there in these days, and decided to create their own stories, like it's something to support. It's something that we are definitely all about here at the show.
Absolutely.
So we've killed about an hour and 11 minutes, man. That's been fantastic talking to you. I was like, oh my god, I could probably talk for another 30-40 minutes,
right?
You are a fantastic conversation. This has been really freaking fun. I've let you plug yourself. I've let you talk about your dad. I've let you expose yourself about like all your weird movies that you like to watch and stuff like that.
It is what it is.
Yo, I want to ask you just real quick, is there any recommendations that you want to put out there for YA novels and books? I plan on including some of mine, just things to, for people to read or things to recommend to their kids. Just real quick, and then we'll kind of wrap up from there, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have a, I'm going to say maybe a teen, 14 to 17, I highly suggest the Chronicles of Nick. I think it's very easily digestible, but also high level enough. It's got some pretty nice complex storytelling. Also, Sherilyn Kenyon does a really good job of encapsulating the heart of like a teenager. So I think that's good. If you have a younger teen, maybe like 12 preteen era to maybe like somewhere like 8, I highly recommend Spiderwick Chronicles. If you've never read it, it is a wonderful series. I absolutely recommend it all the time. If you are maybe that older, you know, maybe like late teen, you know, you're just 18, 19, then I would highly have to recommend the book that I've lost and found multiple times. It's called Sunshine by, who is the author? Robin McKinley. He's an amazing author. And one that I didn't get the chance to talk about, but I still love, or I say two. This one's pretty much for any age, but I still would recommend maybe 13 and up. Okay. R.L. Stine's The Babysitter. It's an amazing book. It's a part of his young adult line. Okay. R.L. Stine's The Babysitter. Gotta read that. And if you are 16 and plus, maybe 16, 17, you know, it depends on the kid.
Your maturity level.
I would recommend Immortal Love Stories with a Bite by PC Cast. It's got a whole host of authors. An amazing book overall.
Okay. These are fire recommendations. Some of them I might read myself, like whether or not they're way up. I'm 29, so I'm trying to read all the books. Like, I don't even mind. They sound really dope. Also, you mentioned that you had them there on your side. I was like, there's no way in crud I'm not going to let her go through all of these books and at least tell us what's over there, because I can't see. She got the awesome green screen happening, so like, I don't even know what's over there. She could have anything on her desk. Like,
that's very true. Very scary as well. No, it's just my setup isn't finished. I gotta finish my setup. But hey, yeah, that's all I got. And she, like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's you. She can't hurt us through the screen, guys. She ain't got nothing that she can touch me with, like, through the screen. So it's perfectly fine. let me give you my quick updates. Guys, you know I'm a classics dude. So like Jerry Spinelli's Maniac McGee, fantastic book. Jerry Spinelli also wrote two other books I'm gonna recommend just because I was really obsessed with this author, Space Station 7th Grade, and also Jason and Marceline, which is a sequel to that. If you're a young boy, or hell, if you're a young male associating person, like, you could definitely read this book and get some insight on that. And then the last thing I'm going to recommend is Louis Sicard's Holes. You guys all remember the Holes books.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you watched the movie, it's definitely good to read the book as well. It's even better. And it's also just a really good companion to that in all those stuff. So that's pretty much all I got for you guys today. This is the Well-Spoken Token. I've got my lady Miss Ty Black and Culture with me as well, and we'd like to wish you a lovely day. Thank you, and we out.
Don't go nowhere just quite yet. We got music. This is Senpai by Sunzi.
Said he wanna be my simpot, hold me close, make a hint. Said he wanna be my simpot, hold me close, make a hint. Said he wanna be my simpot, hold me close, make a hint. Said he wanna be my simpot. Said he wanna be my simpot, hold me close, make a hint. But I kick up like Shauna, slide through like a Bronin, and you know what's on sight. Like a tag and V fight, yo, she makes it when I slice. Play by the rules, what a dice. Play by the rules, what a dice. Got a couple edgy nights. I hit the blunt, yeah, I might. You just might be my type. I'm player one, first person shooter. He keep a shot again, I got the Ruger. I'm not a damsel, but he tryna save me. Army or two, we go back to back. Tackling Matt and I hit the sack. Tryna put all my niggas on the map. I'm dodging these lanes, but fuck what you saying. We tryna get rich, stupid little bitch. She be so jelly, talking all that shit. I might just fuck around and order the hair. I'm lit like Pika with my juice. I'm the one they wanna choose. I'm driving you with the snooze. Look like Saida, keep confused. She made the news, murder scene, got you hella views. Said he wanna be my simpot, hold me close, make a hint talk. But I kick up like Shauna, slide through like a Bronin, and you know what's on sight. Like a tag and V fight, yo, she meant to win a slice. Play by the rules, what a dice. Play by the rules, what a dice. Got a couple edging nights. I hit the blunt, yeah, I might. you just might be my type. Said he wanna be my sim part, hold me close, make a hint talk. But I kick up like Shauna, slide through like a Bronin. And you know it's on sight, like a Tekken V fight. Yo, she meant to when I slice. Play by the bulls with a dice, play by the bulls with a dice. Got a couple edgy nights, I hit the blunt, yeah, I might. You just might be my type. Yeah, we head to the bando, crash band the court, take a look. Getting jewels off the sand, but why you tryna cock mine though? If it's my time, let me shine, yo. I keep some missiles in the silo. In case you want problems, in case you want problems. I got niggas that follow them bullets real hollow. I got you hella to be hollow. I got you hella to be hollow. Said he wanna be my sim part. Homie close, make a hint talk. But I kick up like a Shauna, slide through like a Ronin. And you know it's on sight. Like I take and be fight. Yo, she meant to when I slice. Play by the rules with a dice. Play by the rules with a dice. Got a couple urgent nights. I hit the blunt, yeah, I might. You just might be my type. Said he wanna be my sim part. Homie close, make a hint talk. But I kick up like Shauna, slide through like a Ronin. And you know it's on sight. Like a tag and be fight. Yo, she meant to when I slice. Play by the bulls with a dice. Play by the bulls with a dice. Got a couple edgy nights. I hit the blunt, yeah, I might. You just might be my type.